I love it when you get this really clear sense that it isn't all about us when we're worshiping. That I love the way that you guys take responsibility for what's going on in the whole community. Every time we gather together, it's taken a long time to get there, I think, because that's not typical of most congregations. Most congregations come because they want to be fed, so they come to be fed. But the reality is, unless you have a diaper on, that's not why you come to church. We've been called to grow up in our faith. We've been called to mature in our faith. And babies are the only ones that you feed. I mean, and you guys are not babies. And I just appreciate the way that you've grown over the years to take on more than just yourselves, take responsibility for more than just what's going on in you. That's kind of what has driven Ann Graham Lotz to call the nation to prayer. I mean, how presumptuous in some ways to call a nation to pray. But she's grown up in the shadow of her father, Billy Graham, who's ancient now, and really can't have the voice that he's always had, but she's being the voice on his behalf, and I just love that. And I love the fact that that it all culminates on a Monday. Out of nowhere, you know, we're devoting 7 hours to prayer on Monday from 2 to 9 o'clock at night, and we're just going to come and be in the presence of the Lord and cry out for our nation. And so I just encourage you to come. You don't have to do anything, but don't come to be fed on Monday. Come to establish the presence of God in the city. That's, and, you know, we have to start here. We can't start with a nation until we're willing to take on our city, our region. Do you ever wonder why all this big fuss about the Greek? About, you know, you hear teachers say, well, in the Greek it says this. And I mean, we can't even hardly get our heads around the Bible in any form, let alone dig deep into the Greek and try to understand the Greek. I mean, if we would just spend that kind of effort and that kind of time just understanding the Bible in any written form, that in a bigger sense, I think we'd be further down the road. But there's this kind of infatuation with the Greek. Part of it is because one English word can mean four or five different Greek words. Love's a great example. There are four different or five different? Four different words for love, really, in the Greek, right? Four. And so tonight we're going to look at two Greeks Greek words that you should know, and they're the two Greek words for time. One is chronos and one is kairos, and we're going to look at that because I think it's really important. I think if you look at the history of evangelism, you'll find that there have been certain periods of time when very important decisions were made that dictated the direction that the whole congregation would go for a period of time, for a season. That's why the way I look at it is seasons. And I think we're in one of those times right now, so I just want to spend some time tonight looking at kairos moment. You're not going to understand what grab the beard means until we get into this a little bit, but it'll make sense in a little while. But I just thought this is a great way to start. So today we're going to talk about two words that you should know, the two Greek words, and they're the Greek words for time. And I want to kind of focus on this scripture as being the central focus of this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time. What's the time? Because the days are evil. So it's talking about time and days. Why is this a big deal that we make the best use of our time? What are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to organize our life to make the best use of the time? I mean, most of us know what it means to waste time. Most of us know what it means to understand the time that we live in, the times that we live in. But I just want to look a little bit deeper into this. And so the easiest way to do that is just to look at these two words, chronos and kairos. Both of them are used in the Bible for the word time. And when it talks about time in the Bible, it can mean either one of those. So chronos time is clock time. It's where we get our English word chronology. It's where we get this whole idea that there are days and years and hours and months and seasons. And so when you look at summer followed by fall, followed by winter, followed by spring, those are time measurements. When you look at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's chronos time. That's chronological time. It's time that's in order. You can also see it in Matthew, where there's a great example of chronos time. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And so in Matthew, they're setting up a time sequence here. And Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, and the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Why is this in the Bible? Why is this important? Because the line of David was really important to establish the history of the Christians upon the earth and the evolution of God's plan for the earth. And so that time sequence was really important. This whole idea of begatting somebody, beginning somebody else, is a measurement of time. And so we can look at time in a really important way if we look at time like it's like a clock. And the meaning, which means that we belong to the clock. And a lot of times, for us, the clock rules us. We're watching the time. Many of you, now that you have a phone, you don't carry a wristwatch anymore because you're watching your time on your phone. You're keeping time. So we wear these small clocks on our wrists, and we call them watches. And the reason why we call them watches is so that we can watch time play itself out. We can watch time unfold. Time is really important to us. And especially as you get more into a life and maturity of life, you realize that you only have so much time to do all the things that you feel like you want to accomplish in your life. And so time's really important to us. That's chronos time. Well, there's another type of time called kairos time. And kairos time is God-ordained times throughout history, sometimes called the right time or the appointed season, or the fulfillment of time. And this kind of time is when his will, when God's will, intersects with our daily lives. And we've seen this happen in our, I hope you've seen this in your life. At some point, there was a place in my life, a chronologic date, when God kind of invaded my life. And it was up in Everett, Washington, and it was late at night, and I was reading the book of Revelation, and the Lord began to speak to me like never before. And I was kind of terrified by the whole thing because I'd never heard his voice like that. And what he said to me was, I want you to move back to Longview. I want you to reestablish your relationship with your family, your natural family, and your church family, because I'm going to do some things there, and I want you back there because that's where I'm going to do them. So it was a really different time. It was like God invaded my life, and I thought I had things pretty well laid out, and apparently he wanted me back in Longview for a reason. And then there's been times like that where he's invaded my space, where he's set his will up, and it intersected with my daily walk with him. Kairos time is God's dimension. It's God's time. It's not marked by the past, the present, or the future. It's his time. It's the time that he establishes. And Kairos moments then and now allow us to get a glimpse of, you can get a glimpse of heaven. You can get a glimpse of his time because he doesn't fall into the past, present, future kind of time. He exists across the board with all those times. He can reveal to you a little bit about what his world is like. We can get a glimpse of his world. And we can actually get a glimpse of how he thinks and how he works through these kairos moments, these time periods, God's time. There are certain questions that you ask that, and we want to control kairos time, and we force it into a chronos world. And so sometimes things don't make sense. Kairos moments don't make sense in a chronos time period. And let me give you some examples. when somebody says, when should I tell her that I love her? Are you talking about chronologic time? Or are you talking about a certain period of time that's a special period of time? When you say, when does the boy become a man? That's not a, you can't say that every boy becomes a man at 13 or 15. Some men mature at other times. There's a time when you realize that you're a man, though. There's a time when you realize you're not living in your parents' life anymore, but you've got to make this life your own. Another time is, when do you realize, if you grow up in a Christian house, when do you realize that you're a Christian? There's a place in time when that happens. It's not a certain age, or it's not going through certain numbers of classes, but there's a certain place in time when that becomes important. How about this one? When will that poem be finished? Well, you can't give a date for that because it hasn't been established yet. There's a period of time when that's going to happen. And so we try to force this Kairos time into a Chronos world. When will God answer my prayers is another one. I mean, God has his own timing. You know, you realize that, right? When you're praying for something and you want to see that happen, you want to see the door open, you want to see it unfold. And all the what we constantly want is the door in front of us to open so we can go through it. And what we don't realize in Kairos time, what you're asking for is the door above you to open. And so God pours in. And that's a major difference between Chronos time, which is the door opening up in front of you so you can go through it, and Kairos time, where the door is actually above you and the door opens and God comes through. And that's a lot of times what we're asking for. So Kairos is kind of this pregnant time. It's something that's about to deliver. It's something that's about to pour out. It's something that's about to it's about to explode. It's about to give birth to something. So Kairos time is kind of a pregnant time. It's a time of possibilities. Moments in our day or week or month or year or our lifetime that define us. It's a crossroad when certain things have to happen. I know, because I know you guys, I know you're a little bit about your lives. There are people in this room tonight who you've come to a crossroad recently. That's a Kairos moment when you said, I've got to change the way I'm doing things. I mean, when Timothy asked Stephanie to marry her, that was a Kairos moment for her. She didn't know when that was going to happen, but at that moment she had to make a decision. She had to respond to that time period. And that's the kind of thing that we have to deal with Kairos time is this the time? Is now the time? We're at a crossroads. The interesting thing about crossroads is they're rarely neutral.